Welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I'm your host, Michael Edward Miller. It's Wednesday, June 6th, and first up on the show today, this year will mark the centennial of World War I's end. It began in 1914, and an armistice was signed in 1918. Today, we're going to talk about two American authors whose careers were shaped by the conflict. The book, The Ambulance Drivers, Hemingway, Dos Passos, and A Friendship Made and Lost in War, explains how Ernest Hemingway and John Dos Passos met on the front lines of World War I, became friends, and literary stars. John Dos Passos wrote Three Soldiers, an anti-war novel, and the USA Trilogy, a critically acclaimed experimental work. Hemingway, of course, wrote A Farewell to Arms and won the Nobel Prize for Literature. My guest today is James McGrath Morris, who wrote this new biography, The Ambulance Drivers, this new biography of the two men. Morris and I are going to talk about his book and how these two authors became friends, as well as the woman that came between them. James McGrath Morris, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm glad to be with you.
Ernest Hemingway, John Dos Passos. I mean, Hemingway was, of course, Hemingway. I think most people, even if they haven't actually read any of Hemingway's books or stories, they at least know who Hemingway was, how significant he was as an American author. John Dos Passos, though, he's not nearly, I think, as well known or as well read today. And one possible reason for that, you've talked about, is the writing style of John Dos Passos. Critics really liked his style, but it was perhaps like abstract art. It wasn't something that ordinary people appreciated quite as much. What was the writing style of John Dos Passos?
Well, you know, the word we might use today, which they wouldn't have used back then, is accessible. Dos Passos was creative like Hemingway. He was trying to change the world of writing like Hemingway was doing. They were both the same. They were both revolutionaries who felt that World War I had so changed the world that old styles of writing wouldn't work. The difference is that Hemingway is really a master storyteller. I mean, ultimately, his work, even if you don't understand the radicalness of his language or anything, was sustained by a story. Dos Passos was creative in a different way. He was trying to bring into literature things that no one had done before, the jump cut from film. And now you and I go to the movies today, and we see that, and we don't think anything of it, but it was so upsetting to people in the early days of movies, they felt a little seasick. Well, he was doing that with literature. He was bringing in actualities, as we might call in the news business, little bits of film reel, all into print. He was trying to recreate the reading experience in a different way. So what I sometimes suggest to people that you mentioned cubists or painters like that. You can open up USA, the great novel that he wrote. It's three books combined into one, and say, this is astonishing. It's amazing. I get it. I know why he's important. But you're not so sure it's comfortable that you would want that painting above your sofa in the living room or that book on your shelf. Whereas Ernest Hemingway, on a cold night, you might pick up Old Man in the Sea and curl up, and then an hour later, be moved. And that, I think that's one of the reasons. I think there's another reason, too. The two men who had both been ambulance drivers in World War I, both had experienced the war and seen it up close and thought the horror of this first mechanized war was such that the world would never be the same again, were engaged in how would they use their writing. Hemingway was much more the artist in the sense that he wanted his work to represent the war. Dos Passos wanted his writing to end war, to change war. So his first great novel is Three Soldiers, which is completely an anti-war novel, very powerful book. Well, the 20th century was heralded those years by the Great War, followed by the Spanish Civil War, followed by World War II, followed by Korea, followed by Vietnam, followed by, we opened up a century of war. And in some ways, Dos Passos, from a literary point of view, was on the losing side. We became a warfaring nation in that sense, that books about war that supported the inevitability of war, that war was going to come no matter what, gained greater currency than this sort of pacifist book, which tried to stop war. It's, in a sense, run over by the traffic of history.
And as you were saying, they were both ambulance drivers in World War I, but they weren't in the military. This was, it sounds pretty unusual, I think, to people today. This was a volunteer thing, and these were both guys
who, I mean, they didn't have to go,
no,
obviously. Why would they do that? What was so interesting to them or so important to them about the war that they felt like, I want to go experience this?
For Americans at that time, seeing the war erupt in Europe and go on for 4 years, they felt it was going to be the defining moment of their generation. The modern parallel for people might be, from my age, the Vietnam War, or for younger people, 9/11. What I mean by that is an event that you already know will define things, the JFK assassination. You know, when these historical moments?
Yeah.
And both of them, as writers, didn't want to miss it. They didn't want to participate in it, in the sense that John Dos Passos was a pacifist. He certainly was going to take up arms. But to not be there, to not experience it, would be a loss that they would both regret for the rest of their lives. And that's what motivated them. The ambulance corps was unique. We know we're celebrating a century since the United States entered the war. So Americans sometimes forget the war had been going on since 1914. And Americans in Paris at the start of the war got whatever contrivance they could have, go to the front lines and rescued wounded French soldiers and brought them back to the American hospital. From that sprung this volunteer ambulance corps, where Americans raised money, sent money over, bought Fords, bought Fiats, equipped them as ambulances, and created this corps of Red Cross volunteers who went. American Friends Service and other groups created these things.
But like Dos Passos, he was an Ivy League, kind of a wealthy guy. You right. had to be to go join this corps.
Of course,
because they weren't paying you.
You needed money to get over there. You needed to know how to drive. The only people who knew how to drive back then were wealthy people, because they're the only ones who could afford cars. And if you spoke French, that was a bonus. So you're basically describing a Harvard kid. So they joined up for altruistic reasons, as well as a sense of not wanting to miss it. Hemingway, of course, was quite the opposite. He didn't go to college. He was not part of that group. But he, too, felt, if you read his diaries and his letters, he said, you know, I've got to get there, hook or crook. And so he ends up joining the more militarized version of the ambulance corps, because after the United States entered the war, they took over, the Army took over the ambulance corps. So he enters as a Red Cross volunteer, but it is much more militarized. And he goes to Italy, where these two men do end up meeting on the front. So their friendship, as I describe in the book, was founded in war, but is later destroyed in a later war when their friendship falls apart.
And Hemingway was wounded in the trenches, pretty badly wounded. I mean, did they not really quite get that this is war? This could kill you. This is a real dangerous situation.
Well, they're somewhat like foreign correspondents who go off to Vietnam or Iraq. There's a thrill that occurs, and if these correspondents deny it, they're not being truthful, of being close to death, being close to these kinds of things. So whether Hemingway, as an 18-year-old who's going off on a great adventure, really understood the potential consequences, I'm not so sure. Dos Passos, who's older and had seen the war in a way that Hemingway never experienced, I mean, really close up, the kind of death and destruction, I think he was much more aware of the deadly consequences of what was going on. Hemingway was more likely to be the young kid who puts himself at risk with no thought. Much like, I hate to admit it, I drove badly when I was a teenager, because we feel that nothing can happen to us.
Yeah, you do feel immortal.
Yeah, we are at that point.
So later on, after the war, they meet in Paris and they start living there, getting together every day to drink and talk about writing and things. How did that part of their friendship come together?
Well, it came together the way many veterans are. Now, they're not combatants, but they both experienced the war. And very often you meet veterans who hang out with each other and they actually don't talk about their experience, but they feel this bond of commonality. You understand, and I understand what it was like. We don't need to talk about it. Hemingway and Dos Passos shared that, but they also had another task. They both believed that the war had so fractured the world, had so changed it, that the expressions, the means of expression that they'd been taught in school, the Edith Wharton style of writing, the Willicott, so didn't suffice any longer. They needed to invent something new. So they were like, in many ways, two revolutionaries, sitting at a cafe. Granted, they're drinking absinthe and chasing women and having a grand time, but they're plotting, how are we going to write something that meets the needs of this new world? Hemingway, of course, becomes world famous for creating this new style of writing. But he wasn't alone. You know, much like if I ask you to name a Cubist painting, you're immediately going to say Picasso. And you'll forget, well, you may not because you're so well-educated, but there's a group of other painters, Braque and others, that form that kind of... Hemingway is the one we think of having changed writing forever. But he was part of a larger group doing this. E. Cummings, Dos Passos, and others were all engaged in the same impulse that the old style of expressing things artistically no longer sufficed after this horrible mechanized war that killed an entire generation of kids.
That's James McGrath Morris. We're talking about his book, The Ambulance Drivers, Hemingway, Dos Passos, and a Friendship Made and Lost in War. And Dos Passos, with three soldiers, he found fame and critical acclaim before Hemingway. He was on the cover of Time magazine before Hemingway, and it sounds like Hemingway was not the kind of friend who would be really thrilled for you when you achieved something that he'd wanted.
No, he wasn't. The book opens, the pleasure I had as a writer is the book opens in 1924. These two writers are sitting in a cafe, and the famous, more successful of the two is the one most readers haven't heard of, is John Dos Passos. He's got his novel out. It's a great success. He's got a multi-book contract. The handsome man sitting across the table from him hasn't published anything virtually. He's working as a stringer for a newspaper and living off his wife's trust fund. Those tables are going to be reversed. Hemingway is not a good person to have the tables reversed because he believes the glory is owed to him, and he becomes jealous of others who poach on that. So the critical acclaim that Dos Passos begins to gain grates on him, even though Hemingway, by far, is the more successful of the two, eventually making money hands over fist. So their relationship is poisoned by this. You know, artistic lives are filled with envy. I mean, writers who are successful still wonder why David Paterson makes $10 million more than they do. They look at each other's works and they say, I could do that too. And that's certainly the case with these two men, except for Dos Passos. Dos Passos is kind of the better egg, the kind of guy you want as a friend, whereas Hemingway isn't that way. And, of course, Hemingway famously destroys every friendship, every love affair. I mean, the women that truly loved him, he pushes away. The men who stood by him, he lashes out at. He's a very wounded soul who does that. And Dos Passos, in many ways, was the perfect friend because he put up with it.
And later on, as Hemingway finds more and more commercial success, makes more and more money, and Dos Passos continues to not make a lot of money, Hemingway is the one who helps support Dos Passos at times.
Yeah.
Why do you think Hemingway was doing that?
Because
was it altruism?
Yes,
or?
It was altruism. Hemingway is a cruel, vindictive, difficult man who's also a very sweet, tender, and nice man. He can be both at the same time. He has these two personalities. When Dos Passos' wife is killed in a car accident, and the wife he had was Hemingway's early girlfriend, so Hemingway really knew her, he writes a very tender letter to Dos Passos. And their friendship at this point had already broken up, so it's quite an act, right? But the next day he says to somebody else something very nasty about it. Dos Passos has gone off and decapitated my girlfriend or something like that. And that's the way Hemingway was. I don't want to say he's two-faced because that implies he's doing this on purpose. He's such a wounded soul that he is at times a nice guy and at times not a nice guy. And, you know, we all know people like that in life. And if you look very often at the people who were his best friends, they're really better people. Fitzgerald, Dos Passos are really good souls who are empathetic and put up with stuff. And I think for Hemingway, he was very fortunate to have men like that around him, as well as some of the women who loved him.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with James McGrath Morris. His new book is The Ambulance Drivers, about the friendship between Ernest Hemingway and John Dos Passos. You were talking about Dos Passos' wife, Kate Smith, and as you were saying, the problem with this, the thing that I would think most people would immediately say, maybe you should not get with that girl, maybe you should stay away from her, was she was Hemingway's old love interest. I mean, did Dos Passos really get that Hemingway was still hung up on her?
I think he got it after the fact. I mean, Dos Passos had not had what we would call in those days luck with women. He was kind of nerdy, thick glasses. He didn't have a lot of the things that gave him confidence. And so when he met Kate Smith, he found his kindred soul in that moment. It didn't take him long to figure out the problem you were describing. And Hemingway certainly didn't make it a secret that he was upset over that. But they really, truly had a partnership. She understood Dos Passos' writing. He understood her writing ambition. And granted, our photographs often capture us only when we're smiling. But when you really stare at those pictures, you see a great romance. And I think Dos Passos was not stupid not to realize, was smart enough to realize that this was going to be a problem. And it does manifest itself. And when they begin to get upset at each other, they write about each other in thinly veiled versions of their novels. And the issue with Kate Smith certainly surfaces with Hemingway and hurts. It stings.
And at times, Hemingway had to actually change some of the writing because it was a little bit too explicit on who he was basing it on.
Oh, it was so clear. And one of his editors, you know, talks him out of it because it's so libelous to have written some of the things he did. Hemingway, being a man who pursued the art of manliness, often when he was vicious with Dos Passos, attacked a character in the book who was Dos Passos's, as being incapable to perform some of the manly functions of life. That was the low blow that Hemingway could send sailing. And he also attacked Kate Smith at one point. He suggested that she was in this for the money. And, I mean, he's like an impetuous child who lashes out and when being carried to his bedroom, hits his mother and says, "I hate you." And we all know as parents the child doesn't mean that. And that's why Hemingway was lucky. His friends understood, whereas Hemingway couldn't return that favor. He didn't understand. And so he was mean and vicious, but I think you have to be empathetic. There were reasons for it.
Do you think that Hemingway would have been successful without the support of people like Dos Passos and Fitzgerald?
That's a very good question. I think he would have been because his writing would have come to the attention of Max Perkins, the great gatekeeping editor of that time, somehow. And people like Perkins would have recognized that it's astonishingly new and different, and what else do you want in publishing than that? But his way there was eased by people like Dos Passos, who presented the work to these New York editors, used their networking, which again is a term they wouldn't have used at that time, but we do today, of getting each other published. But I think the world of writing was so much smaller then. I mean, it was primarily men, primarily white men. The publishing industry was very small and cozy. Fitzgerald had already written to Max Perkins about this guy, Hemingway. But had he not, I think the work would have surfaced more than any other one. Today, there are probably thousands of voices that are not being heard, but it's a very different world.
That's James McGrath Morris. We're talking about his biography, The Ambulance Drivers, Hemingway, Dos Passos, and a Friendship Made and Lost in War. Coming up, we'll talk about the end of that friendship. Stay tuned.
This is WUTC 88.1, essential, eclectic, every day.
Lately, the news moves like an avalanche.
Former First Lady Barbara
President
Bush
Trump
died.
Hosted French
Leaders
President
of the rival Korea.
Guilty! Guilty!
Yes, there were single-engine descending.
With one story after another, you can feel swept away, like you won't ever regain your footing. Morning Edition is there to help you find your bearings and set your sights on what's ahead. Start your day fully awake.
Tune in to Morning Edition, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on WUTC 88.1.
This next one is as well. This is a song from our album, Good Girl.
This week, live in the library, Robin Grant and the Standard. Robin Grant and the Standard, recorded live in the Chattanooga Downtown Library on the radio this Thursday afternoon at 3:30. Robin Grant and the Standard, live in the library, on the radio, Thursday afternoon at 3:30, here on NPR Music 88.
You're listening to Around It About Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller. My guest today, James McGrath Morris. We're talking about his biography, The Ambulance Drivers, Hemingway, Dos Passos, and a Friendship Made and Lost in War. We've talked about these two authors' different literary styles and personalities, and now we're going to talk about their politics.
Both got involved in the Spanish Civil War. It changed Dos Passos' politics and his friendship with Hemingway. Is there any one single incident that really broke the friendship between Hemingway and Dos Passos, or was it more just a series of things?
Well, there is, to use a cliche, there is a straw that breaks the back, and that's in the Spanish Civil War. A very dear friend of Dos Passos, a man named Robles, who he'd met as a teenager, who translated his works, was actually teaching at Johns Hopkins when Dos Passos was hospitalized there with rheumatic fever. I mean, this is a man he loved and kept up with, was killed, executed by communists. And Hemingway was very unsympathetic. And you imagine yourself being Dos Passos, talking to your best friend about the death of one of your best friends, and your friend doesn't seem to care. In fact, your friend says, don't poke around and do and investigate it because it could reduce the credibility of the government we're here to support. So I think he was really hurt by that in a way that he'd not been hurt by Hemingway's previous actions. There were other contributing elements, but I think that's the moment that creates the vicious break between them, that he never really forgives Hemingway for that callous treatment.
And I think that kind of gets at the character of Dos Passos as well. So they're originally there to support this communist government in the Spanish Civil War. But then Dos Passos finds out that the government has killed his friend. And so once he realizes this government is maybe not or maybe a little bit more corrupt perhaps than he'd originally thought, he starts to change his mind about them.
Yeah, the government actually was a popularly elected Republican, small R government, that was being challenged by the man that we came to know as Franco, who was trying to establish a dictatorship. So everybody, communists, small C communists, capital C communists, left wingers, had come to Spain to defend the legitimate government. And Dos Passos had begun learning about Stalin's atrocities in the Soviet Union, like many American communists. Dos Passos is really a fellow traveler, not a communist. But seeing his friend killed by communists who believe that the ends justify the means really causes him to question his support. Hemingway at this point is becoming a leftist, so he's in his first infatuation. So the challenge that Dos Passos is doing is frustrating to Hemingway. It's also frustrating to Hemingway because Dos Passos had been saying, come and join us all these years in the 27 with Sacco and Vanzetti, all of these cases. So Hemingway finally comes to support a left-wing cause, and what's his best friend doing? Moving away from it. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, you finally talked me into playing tennis and now you're taking up croquet. I mean, Hemingway was angry about this. So there were a lot of elements that went into it. But it does explain a lot. People grew up of a certain era. Dos Passos was known as a famous American right-winger who supported Goldwater, who wrote for the National Review, and yet he'd started off life as this left-winger. And understanding what happened to him in Spain and his sense of the importance of personal liberty to artists and freedom that turned him against communism makes it a lot more understandable, that journey from left to right. And explains, even though my book ends in 37, it does explain a lot about the way Dos Passos ended his life.
What were some of those basic principles that you think Dos Passos had probably throughout his whole life that might be true for people both on the left and the right?
Dos Passos, for instance, he campaigned to prevent the execution of Sacco and Vanzetti, two anarchists who were wrongly charged with a bank robbery in Boston, became a really cause celeb in the late 20s. And I realized that he would have been there on those front lines as a conservative years later, because what animated him was justice, individual freedom, liberty, and liberty from tyranny. The far right and the far left share that. That's why libertarians often have a lot in common with both sides. Where they disagree is social policy, but their belief in freedom is what often animates them to be at these extremes. And what I think Dos Passos discovered in Spain, and he wrote famously to a friend of his who was a left-winger, is that really when it boils down to it, of course, the ends don't justify the means, but in politics he believed all you have is means. And what you have to agree upon in politics is the way you make the decision, not the goal. Because if you become so absorbed with the goal, you corrupt what holds us together, which is our agreed-upon rules of the road. And I think a lot of people see that today in American politics. And I don't just mean the current administration, but over the last few decades with increasing partisanship, people use whatever tools they can to win their policy over, whether it was Obama winning the vote in the House by one vote in a technicality, or whether it was the Senate refusing to take up Obama's Supreme Court justice, or whether it's the president using executive orders today, it's a betrayal of the rules, and the rules are what unite us. We can choose to disagree on whether we should have Social Security, but if we disagree on how we bring about those rules, we've lost something, and that's the kind of thing that animated Dos Passos' life. It turns out he thought profoundly about these things in a way that I hadn't known until I did this research.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No, great to have a chance to chat about the book.
What's your website?
My website is rather simple. It's jamesmcgrathmorris.com.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was a pleasure being with you.
That was James McGrath Morris. We were talking about his biography, The Ambulance Drivers, Hemingway, Dos Passos, and A Friendship Made and Lost in War. We spoke with Morris in 2017 when he was here at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga promoting his book. And that's it for A Rounded About. Thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Michael Edward Miller. If you have questions, comments, or story ideas, you can email me, mike-miller@utc.edu.
Around and About Chattanooga is a production of WUTC with contributions by the staff and volunteers of WUTC. Find us online at wutc.org.